So I call this meeting to order at 8:49. Let's go ahead and start roll call.
Brad Crick?
Here.
Here. Ashley Monroe?
Here.
Joella Sparks? Adam Kane?
Here.
Kirsten Bay?
Here.
Sarah Batiste? Deb Jepson? Mary Alice Short? Debbie Gonzalez? Leslie Walls? Jamie Warwick? Debbie Coxon? Jesse Atencio?
Present.
Aaron Albertson? Kim Eames? Juan Gula? We have...
please introduce yourself, or at least give your name.
This is Hope Bickmeyer here for Juan Gula.
Thank you.
Robin Winant.
She is here.
Trish Winters.
Here.
Jeanette Altman.
Here.
Jennifer Youngberg.
Here.
Travis Brinzel. Richard Machida.
Here.
Jorko Toivonen, and I've got for proxy Earl Voris.
Voris.
Thank you. Chris Bex.
Yes.
Evelyn Pinsgaard.
Here.
Selena Brown.
I'm here.
Tom Langdon and as
Duncan Fraser here for Tom Langdon.
Thank you. Cindy Collins.
Here.
Tony Abbey. Is there anyone whose name I did not call? Quorum was met.
All right. Thank you, Nicole. Let's move to item 1C, approval of the agenda for today's meeting.
Move to approve.
All right. Any discussion? All right. I wanted to – oh, sorry. Go ahead.
I think that at least the agenda I saw yesterday – sorry, I'm pulling it up. 244.
Can't hear.
Oh, Chris, could you speak in the microphone?
Sure, sorry. additions to the RISE stuff, the RISE, they were just labeled wrong in the agenda.
Okay, so were they in the attachments you received? Or?
Yeah, the
they're
attachments.
In the agenda there. So do we need to make any changes to item C under new business?
Yeah, I think so. Let me pull it up. So, yeah, item C 1 is 244-11, and C 2 is 244-12.
Okay, so
because 244-10 is already in.
Oh, yep, as the resolution.
Yeah.
Okay, so we'll change.
Oh.
We'll change item CI to that attachment is 244-11, and then CI2 is 244-12. And is that?
That's correct.
That catches. Okay.
I think we need to add those to the agenda.
Okay. And then I wanted to note that we put a communications discussion here under new business. I'm not suggesting we remove it, but we may skip it and move it to a future meeting, depending. Just let everyone know that and see if there's any objection to possibly doing that. All right, any other changes or additions to the agenda? Any opposition to approving the agenda as amended? All right, hearing none, we have an agenda. And it's our next order of business, approval of minutes. I think we should have struck this from the agenda, right? We do not have minutes for meeting 242? Okay. We do have minutes, but they didn't go out via email. So that will be on the December agenda. Status of pending actions. I don't have any information on that right now. Public comment, we'll come back to that at 9 o'clock. So to item 4, officers' reports. Starting with this meeting and going forward, Ashley and I tried to compile our notes into an officer's report. Nicole sent it out over email. There's some paper copies in the back. So if you have questions about meetings we've attended or if there are things we don't cover verbally, you can use that to see what's been happening and ask questions from it. I had a little bit of housekeeping information. At the last meeting, I talked about proxies and that if you can designate a proxy from someone from your unit, and I'm glad to see 3 proxies here today. That's great. And then please let Nicole know so that she can check to make sure they're from your unit. If you're an at-large rep, they can be from any unit. One thing I missed last month is you can also designate another representative as your proxy. And so that representative would then be able to vote on your behalf. So this could mean one rep could have multiple votes if multiple people made that person a proxy. And that's okay. But the only caveat to that is they wouldn't count for quorum. You'd still just be one person for the purposes of quorum. So if you're going to ask another rep to vote in your place as a proxy, please also let Nicole know because she'll need to calculate quorum and make sure we can meet it. I'd like to thank all of our even unit reps. I know we have reps who are not returning, and I will miss you. And I hope that you encourage your units to come back people in your unit to either consider running for write-in or attending staff council in the future and possibly joining as a rep. I think it would be great. Other information, some things we're going to be covering later in the agenda, but during pre-staff yesterday, Ashley and I asked the chancellor about the Student Diversity Task Force report, and there is a memo coming soon from Mike Sfraga. We didn't get an exact timeline on it, but it exists. It should be going out. So hopefully we'll have it before December. I wanted to ask staff council about guests for future meetings. We've had Brad Loblin. We've had Pat Pitney. Today we were going to have Green Dot. They had to postpone. But we have a list of people we might consider inviting, and I'd be happy to get feedback either today or via email. Chaz St. George for Shaping Alaska's Future, not necessarily as a guest, but at least to give us information about Shaping Alaska's Future. Mae Marsh from the Office of Diversity and Equal Opportunity has asked if she could come and speak, and I think that would be really interesting when we get the Diversity Task Force report. Brad Loblin has asked to come back again, and I also think that's an excellent idea. At Exec Board, it was suggested maybe once a semester. So we have them again in spring. And then the provost was suggested, and Eric Seasted, who is the chief HR officer for system-wide, also suggested as someone we might approach to ask as a guest. And we'll be talking more about the tuition waiver going forward. One thing that I have heard in I heard in the Board of Regents meetings, heard at Staff Alliance, and heard at System Governance is just general, you know, general concern about our budget. At System Governance Council, the President told that group that the Board of Regents would be taking, or the legislature would be taking a much harder look at our operational budget, and they don't usually do that. And the operational budget is primarily fixed costs and compensation and benefits, and that's the compensation and benefits portion is 63% of that budget. And so the warning coming down is that, maybe nothing specific as of yet, but that there will be a harder look at that, and they don't normally do that. From the President at the June Board of Regents meeting and at the November Board of Regents meeting, when asked about how do we, as a university, how does the entire university find savings, he said employee cuts. Ashley and I asked the Chancellor about that, and he said that, you know, cuts, in his mind, cuts aren't the same thing as reductions, and that we could find savings by not necessarily cutting staff, but by, you know, I would assume not rehiring some positions and reallocating people. But so behind all the tuition waiver, you know, and there's going to be a lot of concern about that, which is good. I think we need to keep our eyes on the budget going forward. You know, not only FY15 budget, but FY16 and beyond. The legislative advocate for UA, Chris Christensen, told System Governance Council that at the state's current rate of spending, there's apparently about 8 years left in their savings. And they've run a deficit last year. They're going to run a deficit this year. They'll probably run a deficit next year. And within 8 years, they won't have the money to continue doing that, which means either cutting spending, and the university is one of the bigger parts of that state budget, or what's the other part? Well, sorry, yeah, cutting spending or going through savings. So it's not doom and gloom. President Gamble rightly pointed out that, you know, doom and gloom situation would be a 20% budget reduction. We're not seeing that. The university has put forward a flat budget. We get a lot of support from the public for, you know, for the university, so that's all of that's in our favor. But that was something I wanted to highlight to all of us, that budget picture is something we want to focus on going forward.
Fred, can you repeat the three items that were in the operational budget again? I wrote down fixed cost, benefits, and...
Yeah, compensation and benefits. And that's what I've got for now. Other big things are on our agenda. I'll turn it over to Ashley. Oh, thank you. Yes, we've hit just past 9 o'clock. I apologize. Is there anyone from public comment or here for public comment? All right. Hearing none. Ashley?
Well, as Brad said, we're hitting quite a few larger topics later on in the agenda, so I'll just briefly mention about the employee education benefit. In case, hopefully you are aware that in the November Board of Regents meeting, it did come up to reduce the benefit to only cover 50% of tuition. It was voted on, and it was a tie at 5-5. And so it is going to be, or most likely will be coming up again in December. The December Board of Regents meeting is here in Fairbanks on December 12th and 13th, and that's a Thursday and Friday. The agenda should be available on December 2nd. So that you can see the listing of what's up for discussion and the times for public comment. But I would highly, highly encourage everyone to show up for that public comment period. And Chancellor Rogers also really encouraged staff council and its representatives to show up for public comment to really speak your mind. I was really impressed to see we have a petition here filed by Unit 12?
11.
11. In regards to the tuition benefit, and we'll pull that out in a little bit and look at that as well under new business. So it is a hot topic and something that we should all be following and monitoring. Eric Seestad does have a survey that should be coming out, he said this week, but I haven't seen it yet. So hopefully the rest of the week, a brief survey to really let staff have the opportunity to share their thoughts and comments in regards to the employee education benefit. I would encourage you to not only take that waiver, that survey, but also to forward that out to your units and really push for others to take the survey and to show up at the Board of Regents meeting. And we'll get that agenda out to you in December when we see it so that you're well aware of when and where to show up. Last month, Brad and I mentioned that the bullying training, the staff affairs did put forth a resolution and sent to President Gamble to support bullying training to be held at all campuses and be required for all employees. That has happened, and we mentioned it to or asked Chancellor Rogers regarding it yesterday, and he's waiting for the training to be complete, the training materials to be completed, and then they will start trying to work on how to make it required, how to track it, and best opportunities for offering that training. But it will be rolling out soon. We also discussed with the recent weather activity, we discussed a lot yesterday on emergency plans and the potential changes. It's been, I think, 4 years in a row now that we've had these ice storms in November, so there needs to be a better plan to get the word out when UAF is canceled or if UAF is canceled or not closed. And so it does sound like that they're going to be kind of revamping the emergency plan, trying to find new ways to get notifications out. There was a mention that the Blackboard notification system did not work as planned last week, that that notifications did not go out. And just curious, did anyone in here get the Blackboard notification?
Got it on my phone.
Okay.
Yeah.
I got one every day.
Good. I was curious because I actually got an email saying that something was updated on my Blackboard, but no idea what it was, and I just thought it was one of my classes. And so I was going in trying to find a homework assignment that was up there, but nothing got posted. So.
Yeah, and that's what I just a suggestion. Since Blackboard with most people here is associated with the Blackboard Learn, which isn't what you're talking about. You're talking about Blackboard Connect. Can we rename that to UA Alerts, which is what the system, I mean, Blackboard Connect is what powers UA Alerts, but I'd like to call it that since if you talk about Blackboard, most people think about the classes that are online. And since I'm responsible for that system, which worked just flawlessly over the last, you know, the 3 days last week.
Perfect.
And was a go-to for faculty to make sure that they can still have classes and stuff like that, and informations and tests and assignments. So I know it's powered by Blackboard, but it's powered by a different Blackboard product. So thank you.
Perfect. Thanks for clarifying that.
And so, Chris, for getting an alert through that way, is that something that you would need to sign up for?
Yes.
And where would you go to do that?
UAalerts.alaska.edu or UAFalert. Alaska.edu. So I don't know if you can get there from UA Online. I think that as an institution, we should be a lot better about getting the word out about UA Alerts because that if you're signed up, I got phone calls, text messages, emails, and you know what. I mean, I was inundated every single day with notifications in any way, shape, possible. I signed up for all of them because I want to know that it works, and it works fine, but you do have to sign up. If you're not signed up, you're not going to get notified. So
perhaps we can work with you to maybe write a blog posting on how to sign up and why it's important to sign up so we can get with Nicole to get something posted to the blog.
You bet. I'd be happy to. Yeah.
Great.
Hi, this is Cindy Collins, and I believe in the most recent Cornerstone that came out in email in the last couple of days. I believe it was yesterday. They had a blurb about it saying with the recent weather, this is a good reminder to sign up with instructions on how to do it.
Yeah, it was on every email to that Chancellor Rogers sent out or that some of the places that it was sent out on at the very bottom. But I think some of those emails were sent through UA Alerts, and most of the time people don't read all the way to the bottom of the message. if you got the top of the message, which said, you know, use your own determination whether it's safe to come to campus, that's really all people read and said, okay, I can stay home today. right? And either way, I think there's a lot of ways that you can get notified. I mean, text messages, that's how I kind of live these days. That's how I notice things, the easiest and the fastest. Phone call works really nice, too. It's a computer voice, but it's easy. The phone number that pulls up as a caller ID is the phone number from the help desk, from the support center. So it's, you know, it's from the university. And so there's a lot of ways that you can do this. And if you want to elect to receive that phone call, not on your cell phone, but on your home phone, you can do that as well. So there's a lot of ways to do this. It's just, I think university can probably do a better job of getting that information out there, saying here's how you sign up and here are the ways we can notify you, and it's up to you to opt in, and you can select how you want to get notified. So,
and on that communication front, I was in I was invited to a safety committee. I think Pat Pitney runs the committee, but this was before the power outage, but before the ice storm and the most recent power outage in Fairbanks, but after our 1 or 2 hour power outage, the week before last week, 2 weeks ago, and improving communication was top on marketing communications list too. And that meeting, they were saying that they'd learned quite a lot about what worked, what didn't, and sort of all the different ways that people got notified and the problems resulting from that. And then yesterday at pre-staff, the chancellor reiterated that, you know, communicating with employees is something that we want to improve.
Last thing on that topic is just that I was impressed with the number of staff that offered to help one another last week. Just within our office and without, we had people that were stuck at home because they didn't know how to open their garage door without electricity. So we had a little bit of a shuttle system going to pick people up so that they could come in and get warm and have light and come to work. And then checking with one another to make sure that lights were on, power was on, everyone had heat or sources of heat, generators, things like that. So it was a good reminder of a good community that a lot of us have built here at UAF, and I appreciated that nice reminder as we get into this cold, dark season where it can be easy to get frustrated. Moving on, I just want to give a brief update, I guess, on the Smoke-Free Campus initiative. We'll be talking about that later on, but I did want to share that UAA has set a smoke-free day on campus, and that is this Thursday, November 21st.
I would want to say I heard that during Board of Regents while I was taking notes and listening in. I'd swear that's the date I heard, but I will say that I'm not 100% sure if that's accurate. But I'm quite sure I heard them say they were doing a smoke-free day, and I thought it was November 21st.
Is that Sunday? No.
Thursday.
And I kind of thought I heard that UAA was kind of against.
I've heard the opposite. The UAA is for the Smoke-Free Campus,
okay.
But I hear different things from different people. From I think it was at System Governance Council. Maybe David, if you remember, you can back me up. But I remember hearing from someone at UAA there that the Chancellor and his cabinet were 100% behind it. They were going forward. But then at System Governance Council yesterday, I heard them say, well, they want the students to push it. So I hear different things.
Okay.
But generally what I've heard is that UAA is moving forward, to that goal.
Okay. This being an early step, it sounds like, in the process. That's all that I had. Everything else will kind of come up later on in the agenda.
I'm sorry, you're right. That will come up later. Are there any questions for Ashley and I? All right, hearing none. Chancellor Rogers could not make it today, but Kari Burrell, Executive Officer, is here in his place. So please welcome.
Good morning. Can you hear me? No.
Sometimes you have to get kind of close to the microphone, too.
That's still pretty quiet.
It should be on. Can you hear me? No?
You might need to speak. Yeah, either speak a little closer or
okay.
Nicole, I think, can adjust your volume, too.
Okay. So I am here for Chancellor Rogers this morning. He regrets that he cannot be here. He is up in Nome today and will be in Kotzebue tomorrow visiting our campuses up there. But it does give me an opportunity to introduce myself. I am pretty new to the campus. I've been here 1 month now. I am the new executive officer in the chancellor's office. I am originally from Fairbanks. I grew up here, came from a UA family. My father was on the faculty. My mom was staff, and I went to school here. And I worked in Fairbanks for some time in human services and eventually moved out and went out to graduate school. And most recently, I've been working in the governor's office in Washington State. Was there for 12 years as her policy director. And so when that term ended, I was trying to come back up to Alaska and saw this job here and applied and got this job. So I am pretty excited to be back in Fairbanks. My role in the chancellor's office is really to be an assistant to Chancellor Rogers. I help him with administration. I do special projects for him. I fill in for him when he's not able to attend meetings. So that's what I'm doing here today. So what I wanted to do really quickly is just talk about a few things that are top of mind for Chancellor Rogers. First of all, I do want to touch on the budget again, and I know Brad just talked about that, but it is something that we are concerned about for two reasons. One, state revenues are flattening out, and there has been quite a bit of discussion at the state level about trying to reduce the state operating budget, not maintain it, but actually kind of trim it back. And the universities are a discretionary part of the state budget, and so we are more vulnerable than perhaps some other functions like corrections or healthcare. We could trim back on a little more easily. So that is a concern for us, and I think we see it this year in the university's budget. We've had to trim back a little bit this year. We are managing this year by holding vacancies a little bit longer and trying to reduce some spending on staff sort of on a short-term basis. So we're holding vacancies for 90 days before we fill those unless it's a really critical position and we can't go without filling the position. So that's how we're managing it this year. And we seem to be getting by without having to cut anywhere else in the budget. We are somewhat concerned about what the legislature is going to do next year. We are pleased that the university president, President Campbell, and the Board of Regents both agreed to what Brad termed a flat budget. It actually, because of our fixed costs, we do need more funding from the state. We're asking for a 2% increase in state funding. Whether we will get that or not is another matter. So we're watching that closely. And we saw that the Board of Regents did approve a slight bump in tuition this year. And again, that's not to give the university more spending money, it's to try to hold things constant. So that's one concern. The other area of concern is the federal budget. Likewise, the federal budget, folks in Congress are thinking about trimming back, and sequestration is in place until they can figure out how they can come to some kind of agreement about more thoughtful ways of managing their budget. And so that would be a way for we get a lot of money at UAF through our research grants. It's a big chunk of our funding, and so if we see fewer grant opportunities or if we become less competitive for some reason, that could again affect UAF. So we're keeping an eye on that. I would say for the state budget, Governor Parnell's budget proposal comes out December 15th, so that will be a key sort of turning point for us to see whether he proposes keeping the budget the way that the Board of Regents had proposed it or whether he proposes less of a reduction. And generally speaking, the legislature isn't too far off the governor's proposed budget, so that's kind of a key sort of milestone for us this year. The other thing that Chancellor Rogers is really focused on right now is replacing the heat and power plant. And you may have heard about this before, and I'm sorry if I'm kind of beating a dead horse here, but it's something that's very much on his mind. Our power plant was initially built in 1962, and it had a 50-year lifespan, and so that was up in 2012. And so we're doing great, really, in managing to keep it going. It has had maintenance on it. We have replaced some key pieces of equipment, but there are the two original coal boilers really do need to be replaced. So we are seeking a very sizable chunk of state capital funding to replace that plant. We are seeking $195 million in the capital budget. And then on top of that, UAF would bond $50 million to make up the total remaining project cost of $245 million. That is an enormous capital budget request. For instance, last year for the engineering buildings, we were really asking for $30 million. So that kind of gives you the sense of the difference in scope. And so we know it's going to be a difficult ask. We are really working to educate people about how important that is, that our other buildings on campus really rely on heat, and all of our operations rely on heat. And we can purchase power from GVEA. It would be pricey for us. So that would impact our operating budget, but we cannot purchase heat from anywhere really. So it's important, and we're really kind of going flat out on that, trying to educate the borough, Chamber of Commerce, other kind of key stakeholders about why that's important. The other thing I wanted to touch on, and you guys already talked about it, was the winter storm last week. We did, in our cabinet meeting yesterday, do a debrief on how that went and what we would what we learned from that and whether we would do things differently. I do want to remind folks that we do have an emergency closure policy that the university adopted in 2011, and a reminder that basically the default is the university is open unless closed. And so a lot of people were looking for information about whether we would be open or not, and really unless we announce that we're closed, we're open. That's the first thing. We did talk a lot yesterday about communication. That seemed to be really the big problem. Beyond the weather problems. A problem in that because people were without power, people started to lose their email connections, their cell phones went dead. It was really difficult to get the word out. So we have talked about some things that we will try to do differently. First of all, we met last week at 6 o'clock in the morning to make that decision about whether to close or not. We're going to move that up to 5 o'clock in the morning, which for people like me, I'm not a morning person, sounds painful. But the idea around that is that we would make our decision concurrent with the decision that the school board is making. It may not be the same decision, but we'll have the information at the same time and push that out to radio stations so that if radios are announcing, you know, school district is closed, they can also say UAF is open so that people are hearing that at the same time. We did talk a little bit about Blackboard Connect, and we are hoping to shift to that as a primary way of notifying people, but there are some issues. One, Blackboard Connect is different from Blackboard in terms of where it gets its contact information from. It pulls from the Banner system, and a lot of people do not have current email in Banner, so you can override the Banner information in Blackboard Connect and put in an alternate email address, but we do need to get information out to people about how to do that, because a lot of people think, I'm signed up for Blackboard, I'm covered, and you really need to sign up for both Blackboard and Blackboard Connect. I think that's probably about it on sort of the but I do want to do a quick shout out for the facility staff on the storm last week. They did great work in clearing the roads and graveling sidewalks and just keeping up with all of the maintenance. And I know it was pretty icy Thursday morning when I came in, but they were on it throughout the day, and it was in pretty good shape by the end of the day. So I think that's it for kind of remarks from the chancellor's office for right now. If anybody has questions, I'll do my best to try and answer.
Excuse me, just out of curiosity real quick, what percentage of the university budget is from
research? I am guessing. I know state is around 40%, and I would say research is pretty close to 40% also, and then the rest would be tuition and other sources of income that we have. But I will, if I'm off, I will get information to Brad and Ashley so then they can get you the correct information.
You know, related to the closure, And I haven't had a chance to talk to really anyone on staff council, so this is as much a question for staff council as it would be to you and to the chancellor. But one thing I was thinking about was perhaps we could have a limited closure, you know, understanding that, mm-hmm. yes, we need to keep campus open, we have students on campus, but could we use our department emergency action plans to identify essential functions and essential staff, and then in the event of some kind of weather emergency, only those essential people would need to show up, or would, you know, you'd find a way to figure out who can fill that role if they can't make it in, rather than sort of a piecemeal, well, we sort of have one person in this office, two people mm-hmm. in that office.
We did talk a little bit yesterday about tiers of closure. So we, you know, one thing would be you would cancel all the extra special events. Another level might be you cancel classes but keep the rest of campus open. And then the third, sort of the most serious level, would be it is so dangerous out there we don't even want staff coming in unless it, you know, it's like heat and power people. So we were thinking in cabinet of trying to delineate a little bit better what might be the circumstances that would trigger each of those different tiers of closure.
And at pre-staff yesterday, we talked briefly about the Make UAF a Better Place to Work committee.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any comments on that? How you'd like to proceed with getting that committee going? Or
no, thank you. When I started, I asked Chancellor Rogers to let me know what his priorities were for the next few years, and he had a rather lengthy list. But on that list was an item called "Make UAF a Better Place to Work," and he is just some initial thinking from him. But he does want this to be a place where we are able to recruit the best faculty and staff, and we are able to hang on to the best faculty and staff, and that it be a community, a healthy community, a place where people want to work. And so he has asked me, you know, maybe not the highest priority because we are focusing on some other things, but he does want me to kind of get a process going for, you know, asking people what is it that they would like to see to make this a nice place to work, and how would we start fleshing out some action items on that. So I will probably be convening some kind of committee on that. I just haven't figured out what that will look like yet. So if you guys have thoughts, recommendations about kind of best way to get input and work through that, let me know.
I know we have at least one staff council rep who is not here today but is very interested in that. I suspect we have a few more. And I think we could come up with some ideas and suggestions that could be, if not immediately actionable, certainly starting points.
Okay. Great. Well, thank you, everyone.
Thank you. And I think David just walked out of the room. Hopefully, he'll be back. Do we have anyone here for ASUAF? Okay, well, we'll go ahead and move on to unfinished business, and when David comes back in, we'll jump back to the Faculty Senate report. So item A, the smoke-free, tobacco-free campus. So there is a resolution. It's not on the floor, but if you had a chance to look over the resolution, the context for this is that at System Governance Council in October, the president spoke to that group and said that, you know, because the question about smoke-free campus had come to the Board of Regents, the Board of Regents was asking him for a response. And so he asked System Governance Council, or said to System Governance Council, if that group told him that they'd like to see the decision rest with the chancellors and their campus directors, he would be amenable to that. And that was something that System Governance Council agreed with. And so at that group, we worked up this language that could go out to all the governance groups that make up SGC. As it turns out, the November SGC meeting was yesterday, and at yesterday's meeting, we passed, and I'm a member of that group, we passed a resolution very similar to this, asking the president to delegate to the chancellors and to campus directors. But so that's the context behind this. I still think this is a worthwhile resolution if we agree with it, if we agree that the decision should be at the chancellor level. It's already sort of happening that way with UAA forming a smoke-free committee, and UAF, according to the Cornerstone, is forming a smoke-free committee. I don't have any other details about the UAF group. Has anyone else heard anything about UAF's smoke-free? It's a clean air campus challenge, and the committee was going to look at ways of participating or how to fill that challenge. And it's
UAS responded anyway?
I don't know if UAS has a committee or not. What I've heard from UAS members in at Staff Alliance and at System Governance Council, and System Governance Council, again, has staff, faculty, student, government, and alumni members from all three MAUs and then from statewide. What I've heard from UAS sounds mixed to negative. But like I said earlier, it's hard to tell. You know, from UAA, you hear one thing, and then in another meeting, you hear something different. So I'm sorry, I don't have a better answer for that.
The only thing I think that we've heard for sure is that UAF is the only MAU that has done the survey.
Statewide. Yeah, Statewide did a survey, and Statewide staff, the Statewide Administrative Assembly passed a resolution to the president saying that they would not approve of any changes to or any broad ban to smoking across the university system. Yes, please.
Yeah, I was Statewide. I just wondered how you guys plan to enforce this, and what's the consequences for a guy, a smoker who, you know, just can't kick his habit. Does he have to drive off campus and take a 20-minute break and then drive back versus, you know, having 5 minutes stand on the sidewalk?
Those are really excellent questions, and so far as I know, you know, we haven't really heard any suggestion for how it would work as a proposal. It seems to me that everyone's in a bit of a holding pattern. You know, we haven't heard about any sort of, except for the smoke-free day, which, like I said, I'm pretty sure is what I heard at the Board of Regents meeting. I haven't heard of any specific action that any campus is taking.
I think the smoke-free day is a nice idea. You can try it. Mm-hmm. It encourages people to be, you know, to quit. But, you know, I'm an ex-smoker. I had a gun. You know, I'd go smoking. You know, I'd be smoking if I wanted to smoke. I mean,
right.
I quit 30 years ago. But I just see it's a big hardship for the smokers to try to force them, you know, to quit.
And that's, I think, exactly why we had such mixed reactions on our survey, kind of split right down the middle, and that's probably why, at least at this time, we don't have a resolution either for or against. We're just saying, please make a decision.
Yeah.
I think it'd be better if you could figure a way to encourage people to quit instead of saying you had to quit. Give them some motivation. It's like the healthcare where they want to charge you $50 extra for smoking. It ought to be the other way around. They ought to pay you for not smoking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Chris.
Yeah, and I think in conversations I've had with other folks is exactly that, let's focus our efforts on helping those people that want to quit. And the other thing that I hear a lot is that it doesn't bug most people that there's smokers around as long as they obey by the, you know, the 50 foot away from buildings and stuff like that. And I know it's winter now, so that's a little more difficult. But you know, I know a lot of smokers do exactly that. So as long as that's enforced, the folks I've talked to don't see necessarily a major problem with it. No.
The fact that there's still smoke in the building, because I'm an ex-smoker. It really bothers me to be around a smoker. So I really like that the buildings are not smoking. So that's, you know, that's a good benefit for being here at the campus, but. You know, I don't know how you're going to do that for, you know, you got to look at both sides, the smoker side and the non-smoker side it is.
Yeah.
I think forcing to smoke outside is a good compromise. It's probably uncomfortable to be out there at 50 below, so maybe they'll cut back a little bit.
Yeah. Well, that's state law, so it may also be federal law. But, yes, one thing that came up at the last staff affairs meeting, and Mary Alice isn't here, so I don't know if they want me to assign this to them. No, she is online. Okay. One thing that we talked about was a resolution supporting enforcement and maybe raising awareness of the 50-foot rule and looking at maybe other ways to improve sort of walkable areas. That was that, you know, one of the results I think that came out of the survey is that it's not the smoking or the tobacco use that bothers people. It's smelling the smoke. And we have, you know, just when I look around, we have a number of areas where people are funneled sort of through smoking areas. It's 50 feet away from a building, but you're on a path, and you don't really have any other choice. But that's not something that was written up, but that is something that that I'll be asking staff affairs to take a look at, I'd be welcome if there's another member of the body who, you know, wanted to write something and bring something back. But I think that would be a good course of action.
Brad, this is Mary Alice.
Yes.
I just wanted to say that you are correct. We had met in staff affairs. We jumped ahead with the tuition waiver resolution as a priority.
Yes.
But our stand is that we were going to do a resolution to enforce the 50 feet, and that was the direction that we were planning on heading, and that should be done in the next couple of weeks.
Yes, thank you. And I neglected to mention that. Yeah, the staff affairs meeting came the day after Board of Regents, and so the tuition waiver discussion really dominated that day.
This is Kim Eames. I apologize for coming in late. Does anybody maybe in the administration or someone who's been here at the U a long time remember there was back in the 80s when I was an undergrad here, there was a smoking hut that was kind of between Greening and Turtle Circle, and it was there for a while, and then it was gone. So I'm not a smoker. I never have been, so I never really knew what happened with that. But if there's anybody with institutional knowledge, that might be an interesting look at what has or hasn't worked in the past. Because frankly, the 50 foot and near the doors, it's not working. People still smoke right outside the doors all over the place.
Yeah, is anyone familiar with that smoking hut? I'm not hearing from anyone, but I think we'll, Ashley and I will follow up on that. It seems like if that was here, there's someone on campus who remembers it and maybe can speak to it.
Yeah.
Or we can find it perhaps in records somewhere.
Brad?
Yes.
This is Trish. I don't know if this is on. I was also told, maybe we could look at what some other schools are doing. I was told that in the UK, the different locations have what they call a coffin. But it's just a booth, basically, like a phone booth, and you step into that to smoke. So, I mean, I think there's probably other solutions out there. And I would say, for me, as a non-smoker, I'm not in favor of the smoke-free campus, partly because, as you pointed out, I'm sorry, I've forgotten your name.
Earl.
If it's a smoke-free campus, then the smokers are going to have to get in their car and drive off campus. And that means people in the office who are already covering for them when they go out for a smoke break are covering for a much longer amount of time, multiple times during the day. So I think it's much more disruptive, and I think it's a little easier at UAA to have a resolution like that because it's not as extremely cold as it is here. I think we have a different dynamic and different situation that we're dealing with and a much larger campus. Thank you. But if we can look at some other solutions and then propose those and say, beyond enforcing, which I think is a great idea, but if what we have isn't working, let's find some other solutions that do work around the country or overseas.
So we have this resolution, and this resolution is not saying that we should impose or should it begin a smoke-free or tobacco-free campus. It's just saying that any authority to do so or to make decisions about it should go to the chancellor and to the campus directors. I'd accept a motion to bring it to the floor.
So moved.
Second.
All right. Is there any discussion on this resolution? All right. Hearing none. Let's see. Is there any opposition to Will? I think we usually do our votes by ayes and nays. So all those in favor, please say yay and raise your hand in the room.
Aye.
Yeah, and online?
Aye.
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 And I'd say anyone opposed in the room? Anyone opposed online? And any abstentions? All right. I believe it passes unanimously. On any other discussion about smoke-free, tobacco-free?
campus. I think, Trish, you're exactly right, you know, looking at how other, what other campuses have done, looking for other ways. So not necessarily a smoke-free campus, but, finding other ways to mitigate the problem. And I think that's what was borne out also in the survey. We don't want staff who responded to the survey wouldn't support a ban necessarily, but the smoke bothers them.
I'm just glad that we included campus directors in there, because what might work for Fairbanks may not work in Dillingham or Nome.
Mm-hmm. We're already a smoke-free campus.
Is that confirmed? I kept hearing that, but I couldn't find it on any website announcement. So
I think that I am the only smoker in the entire building, and so I walk across to the library's parking lot and I smoke.
And I'm sorry, which
this is Selena from Bristol Bay Campus.
Okay, thanks, Selena.
You're welcome.
So, Brad, what happens to the resolution that we just passed now?
I'm sorry?
What happens to the resolution that we just passed now?
Let's see. It will be targeted to, we'll CC it to the chancellor, since it's going to concern him, and we'll send it to Staff Alliance. And then Staff Alliance will, I'm not sure what would happen to it from Staff Alliance level. My thought is that it would go to the president and or to System Governance Council. And it would, it's effectively just backing up System Governance Council in their request to delegate that authority to the chancellors and the campus directors.
Can I recommend that we put that on a blog post, maybe together with the next resolution?
Yes, we can definitely do that.
Thanks.
Sort of an after-action report for the meeting.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, it is just a little after 9:40. We can move ahead to the tuition waiver discussion, or we could take a break now and come back at 9:45, 9:46, thereabouts. Is that, I'm seeing nods.
Take a break.
All right, so let's meet back here at 9:46. All right, it is 9:51. Go ahead and come back to order. My
opportunity to get rid of it.
Yeah.
All right. Welcome back, everyone. So before we move to the tuition waiver, Ashley and I realized that we forgot two things from the officer's report. So I'd like to touch on those quickly and then get to our next item of business.
The first one was on Carrie mentioned it and. The combined heat and power plant, and we forgot that on our report. Just to give you some information, Brad and I at pre-staff yesterday asked about the failure rate, I guess, is what are the chances of a catastrophic failure of the power plant. Catastrophic failure is low. However, there is a 98% chance that there could be a short-term failure lasting 5 to 6 days if one of the boilers fail, 98% that this will happen in the next year, next 12 months, and that would cost $25,000 a day for the shutdown. So the question then becomes is where does that money come from? And it comes from budget cuts, essentially, that when that happens, because it's a high percentage that it will happen, where are we going to get that money?
What did I just say I would cover? Back in September, at the September Faculty Senate meeting, the Chancellor said something interesting to that body, that UAF would be seeking a 2% market adjustment, a 2% across-the-board increase for faculty. I was sort of saving, I hadn't asked him about it at pre-staff. I was kind of waiting to see what the budget looked like. And since we've now seen the capital and operating budgets, asked him about it at pre-staff yesterday. And from what I understand, it's still something that the university is pursuing. The concern from their end is that if faculty, especially who maybe have a lot of research dollars or grant dollars that come with them, if they leave the institution, we lose that grant funding. But that any specifics on that is, since most of those contracts are under negotiation, it would be part of that. He doesn't have details on it. But we definitely pointed out to him that although it's not a market survey, but you know, market surveys are something that staff have been concerned about, you know, and have asked for previously. You know, it's still something we're looking at or keeping in mind of, given that we know compensation increases are going to be lower. That's the direction Board of Regents. The president is saying, you know, employee cuts are where we need to go, and then we have the regents saying, can we cut, or at least a regent suggesting, can we cut the tuition benefit? And if there are no questions, then on those two items, that I think leads us right into item 9A, the employee education benefit. Please.
So, you know, I was on a statewide assembly last year, and we talked about this a lot, too. You know, I think one thing that would help this would be if someone would run a report and find out what kind of classes the staff are taking. You know, not so much the employees or the tenors of the staff, but the staff members themselves. Like, I took I'm a network operations person. I took all my CCNA classes at downtown center, you know, directly related to my work. That saved them the cost of sending me out of state and training me. I think if you they should look at least look at that and see how much is that benefiting the university by not sending your staff out, you know, getting their training yourself. You use their own time to take your night classes or your day classes, most just night classes. And have you guys had a report yet about the effects of the new policy? You know, before there was no penalty for dropping a class. If you took a tuition waiver and signed up for class, you decide, why I don't want to do this, you just drop out. Is this the second semester for that policy?
Spring 2013 was the first semester for which the new rules applied.
Can you request reports? It'd be interesting to see what effect that policy had. You know, how many people actually dropped out and had to pay for their classes, mm-hmm. and then it'd have an idea of, you know, how much tuition is being wasted.
We don't have. We could ask for that report. I'm not sure we would be able to get it before December Board of Regents. But I'll make a note to see if we can follow up on that. We did get numbers for usage for FY13 FY13. So not including this fall, but for last fall and last spring, and the tuition benefit was valued at $4.8 million, and of that. I'll forward these out to staff council, but of that, I think $1.7 million was the value of staff, and then the remainder amount was spouses and dependents. And in 2011, a statewide office produced a report on the tuition waiver, because at that time the legislature had asked the university to review this benefit. And we can forward. It's available on statewide's website. But we can forward that out too. But at that time, what they found was that a similar sort of split: more employees than spouses and dependents use the waiver, but spouses and dependents get more total value out of it, primarily because on average, employees take 3 credits with the waiver, and spouses and dependents take 5. Jeanette.
Brad, just to clarify, it's Regent Fisher who started this.
Yes.
Was he or she proposing 50% cut for only dependents, or was that for staff as well?
He and his exact language was, well, sorry, I should not say his exact language because I couldn't recite it accurately at this point, but he wanted to amend Regent's policy, the specific policy on the education benefit, to reduce it by 50%. So by that reading, I would assume that affects all people using the waiver, so employees and spouses and their dependents.
Okay,
but,
thank you.
You know, it was something that was moved. That change was moved out of order because changes to policy have to be to the board in writing before they vote on them. So that, you know, that could change come the December meeting. You know, we don't know exactly what will be on their agenda yet.
Thank you.
Trish, and then Chris.
So, Brad, this was touched on earlier, but I'd like to introduce this petition that Unit 11's Design and Construction Department wrote their own petition and circulated it, and they got a staggering 34 signatures, which I think is pretty close to the, the majority of the department. And I'll just read what it says. UAF Design and Construction petition for the staff tuition benefit cut. This is a petition for our department for staff to sign who oppose the proposed amendment to amend the Board of Regents policy 04.06.010 to reduce the employee education benefit tuition waiver by 50%. So I'd like to submit this petition on their behalf. And I'm checking with them, but I believe they would like this to be included in the written comment to the Board of Regents.
Excellent.
Thank you.
And Chris?
Yeah, I just want to comment on this. I find it interesting that last month both Chancellor Rogers as well as Brad Lopland talked about professional development and the importance of that. And if Regent Fisher gets what he is proposing, it's professional development then on our own dime, or mostly on our own dime.
Yes.
So kind of with what Earl said earlier, you know, by taking classes, using the tuition waiver, and by the way, that doesn't mean we're taking free classes. I mean, the tuition is free, the class is not. There's lots of fees, books, and other costs associated with that we as employees spend to take classes and to further our professional development. Some of us may get compensated for those books and fees. Probably, you know, I guess that most of us don't. And we're okay with that because it helps us as well. But if the focus is on professional development, which I've heard from Chancellor Rogers a number of times, I heard from HR at this point last month, and we all did, and I've heard the president this, and it goes through the SDI type stuff. If that's the focus, and if that's, you know, and I'm 100% behind that, I also think if that's what the university wants, they should pony up and pay for that. Yeah. And so this would fly absolutely 100% against that whole notion of professional development is the way to move forward. And I think that's a really telling story. That at least one regent on Board of Regents didn't get or isn't with the program.
Mm-hmm. And one thing that the Chancellor Rogers said to Ashley and I yesterday, and he absolutely supports, you know, staff coming to Board of Regents to talk about this, and he said, you know, personal stories are really what get to the board, and he suggested that, you know, an employee who took classes, maybe got a second degree or got their master's and then was able to advance within the university would be a story, you know, that would sit, you know, give that lesson to the board. So Jesse and then Earl.
Yes, this is Jesse Atencio. I was wanting to comment that I was at the meeting where we discussed this the day after the board Regents meeting, and one of the things that already has been mentioned that for staff development, I mean, it's we don't get training budgets to go have the university pay for us to go get training, keep up in our fields, and some of us, especially in the OIT field, it changes fast, and you have to constantly be educating yourself if nobody else is going to educate you. So since we don't have a budget that sends us out for training, this is the only avenue we have to get that kind of training. The other thing is that a long-term employee like myself, I'm a 23-year employee right now, and I've made decisions in the past affecting my future where I've had offers for other employment and for better pay, and I've stayed here because that was one of the things that kept me here, is that I was thinking of the future. Now, I felt that was a benefit that was a contract with me, that if I stayed, I would have this benefit in the future for my children. Now, I would have left the university and gone to work a couple of different times that I had better offers, and I stayed because I said, okay, this is a benefit I will realize later in my career when the children are old enough and they can go to school. Or my wife wants to go and get her degree, which she did this past year. She graduated last year. So that's one of the things that kept me in the system instead of pursuing other employment that would have paid me a much better salary.
Stories like that would be a great asset for advocating for staff at the Board of Regents meeting.
So I guess I'd like to make two comments. One is, I agree with Jesse. There's at least two members in my department that said if it wasn't for the tuition, they would have taken other jobs. They had better job offers, and they'd already be gone. So I told them, you know, I'm not real optimistic about tuition waiver being here for the next 5 or 10 years. I think it's going to get adjusted downward. The other thing I want to comment is I'm taking 9 credits right now. I paid over $1,000 this semester in extra fees. I'm spending 9 hours a week on my own time learning stuff to benefit the university. So they not only don't have to pay the full cost of class, they don't have to pay my wages. They didn't pay the travel to send me outside. They didn't pay the hotel bills to send me outside. It's a pretty big savings to take, you know, tuition waiver classes versus going outside for formal training.
Trish?
Brad, is it possible to get the numbers of, I think it should be fairly easy to get the cost of what we actually pay in fees when we have, if there's a 4.8?
That was the number that I recall,
million.
Yeah, for FY13.
So could we also get the offsetting amount that we actually are paying into the system in fees that goes with that $4.8 million?
I would think so. I think we can ask for that and see.
Because then the net is between those, so it's not really $4.8 million. It's
yeah. And Regent Fisher's proposal, his amendment was actually in two parts, and the first part was to zero out in-state tuition increase, so there would be no in-state tuition increase this coming fiscal year. And then to reduce the tuition benefit. And I think his thinking was you could take the money from, you know, you would get money then from the tuition benefit, and then you could apply it to, you know, your loss of tuition from not reducing in-state tuition. And my understanding, and my understanding is very basic, is that it doesn't work that way. For employees, it's funded from the staff benefit rate. And Jennifer, am I right to say that you can't just, you wouldn't be able to take that money and say, okay, we're using that to pay tuition. It doesn't work that way, right? And then for dependents, it's paid for from unrestricted funds. It also comes with the staff benefit rate. But yeah, so his thinking on sort of being able to take that money, I don't think it's going to work out, or it wouldn't work out the way he was thinking it. What I will also say is that we've got some indication that, you know, of course the regents will vote how they vote. You know, it's their right to change policy. They can do that, but that this probably won't go through as is. I would have liked to hear, at Staff Alliance, we heard from Eric Seasted and from President Gamble, and they both reiterated that this is not a push from the administration. The administration doesn't want this change, and they've supported it in the past, and supported it really strongly in the past. But the only thing that bothered me about that is we didn't really hear that from them in the meeting. You know, what they said was, well, the regents have asked for this information, so we need to give it to them so that they can make their best decision. And we didn't really hear that we're going to go to the regents and say, we need this, and if you take this away, we're not going to be able, or we're going to have a much harder time meeting the goals you've set for us. Jeanette and then Earl.
As an active, you know, student right now, I can tell you if they cut the tuition, I can't afford to pay the full rate of tuition. I won't be taking the same number of classes. I can't afford it. So that's unrealistic saying, oh, we got all these guys taking this many classes, that money's, we're going to get the money for that. You're not.
Mm-hmm.
You may get half of that.
Right.
Some people will continue their education, but some won't be able to afford it, and they'll just quit taking classes.
My question is when we show up for a public comment, I obviously have a personal story because I moved to Alaska for the tuition benefit. The other thing is we have an open position right now that I'm covering, and I have to take a class because I don't know how to do this job. So I want to share my own story, but I also am representing staff council, so, and my unit, 13, and I have a long list of people who have said, I'm too intimidated to come to the Board of Regents meeting. How long do we have to talk? And if I get up and share my story and it takes 3 minutes, can I then share the stories of people? I mean, am I going to get a gavel down? You know, I've never been to a Board of Regents meeting, but I have my own problems that I would like them to hear, my own personal story and the personal stories of my constituents. So thank you.
Yeah. I suggest so. My suggestion is let's talk about the resolution, and then we'll talk about. I know it's not specifically on the agenda, but talk about plans for the Board of Regents meeting. But to answer the immediate question, I believe you have 3 minutes, and after 3 minutes, I don't think they'd throw a gavel at you, but you would need to relinquish the seat. And
never know. Brad, have you gotten a feel from the chancellor?
The chancellor in pre-staff yesterday said pretty emphatically that the tuition benefit is valuable to UAF. And
well, it's one if it's on his list of great places to work.
Yes, right. Yeah, it'd be
and
hard to imagine. Yeah. How, you know,
he highly encouraged staff and especially staff council to attend the Board of Regents meeting and to testify for the tuition benefit.
And at every Chris, at every governance group committee meeting I've been at, I've heard nothing but support. So I think across the university, all of the governance groups are saying this matters to us, and the other staff councils are proposing. Are working on resolutions in support of the benefit. Faculty Alliance indicated that they have a resolution, or they were thinking about a resolution, but this change wouldn't immediately affect faculty. So they support staff and potentially a student response, but I don't know if we'll see a direct action from them. But
and to piggyback on that, what Brad means I think is that because those who are represented by a union have the tuition benefit negotiated into their package, that this would, if a decision is made to do away, this would only affect non-represented staff next year.
Okay. So you say we should join the union?
Yeah.
This is Kirsten and Noam. How about adjuncts? Adjuncts get, for every credit they teach, they get a tuition waiver credit, and I know here in Nome we have lots of our adjuncts, and we all of our class kind of community interest classes are taught by adjuncts here, and so it's a real big benefit to the community, and then those people take classes that they might not take otherwise.
Yeah, if it's part of a union contract, then it would be covered for now. But in the long term, I would assume that if the Board of Regents were to pass a policy change that said we're reducing this benefit or changing it, I would assume then when the contract would get renegotiated, they would need to renegotiate that. So in the short
term...
Are
adjuncts covered by the faculty union?
No, they have their own union.
They have their own union.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And I'm not sure that the benefit's included in that contract.
Yeah.
But yeah, if it went away, this is Chris again. that's kind of what I was thinking, kind of piggybacking on I think it was Kristen. Adjuncts. I mean, I've been an adjunct with a full time job that paid about 35% more than I make here, and I left that job, by the way, for this job. And I did so willingly because, in a big part, the tuition waiver was part of my benefit package at that point. But as an adjunct, if I didn't have that as a benefit, as an adjunct, you're not doing this for the money. thinking of, for example, CTC, which runs, I think, over 80% of its classes on adjunct faculty. You take a benefit like this away from that, there's very little incentive to go and be an adjunct for this university, because for the money, it's really not the reason to do it.
And so for those who work with adjunct faculty or have been adjunct faculty or are, I'm not sure if there's the Faculty Alliance, the Faculty Senate at UAF cover. Like us, they cover certain classes of faculty. I don't know if they cover all faculty, but I encourage them to look to if there's a governance group that covers them, or encourage them to also speak at Board of Regents and speak to that value. If there are no other immediate questions, we have attachment 244-10, which is resolution 244-2. The resolution in support of the employee education benefit, the tuition waiver.
I would accept a motion to bring that to the floor.
So moved.
I second.
And seconded. So discussion, questions, comments on this resolution? One thing that's not on it that I would encourage and be happy to see an amendment, there's not a statement about because the faculty have the tuition benefit as a negotiated item, any change to policy would initially only affect staff, and thus would treat staff differently from non-represented staff differently from other employees at the University of Alaska.
I don't know how to word it, but I think that that's something that we should add.
So. I'm not sure if I could write it down and give it to someone. I'm not sure if I can propose an amendment on the floor. Do we have any parliamentarians who can answer that? I'm going to go under the assumption that I can't. So if someone would be willing to propose that, and we can hammer out the language. I think Ashley is writing it down right now.
Okay. I'll take a stab at it. I propose an amendment to Resolution 2013-244-2 in support of employee education benefit, the tuition waiver, to add the language pointing out that this does not cover non-represented staff, that any change to the tuition waiver at this point would only affect unrepresented staff. That kind of get it?
Nicole, do we need...
This is Kirsten. So is that just another whereas statement? So just put in whereas the current proposal by the regents affects only non-represented employees, i.e. staff or non-represented employees, and therefore treats staff differently than other employees of the university?
Yes, I think that would be appropriate.
And I would suggest changing, it's not the current proposal, because at least as of this writing, there's
right.
No current amendment or no current motion to change policy, but that any change to
yes.
to the policy.
Yes, please, any change to the policy.
Kirsten? Kirsten, I'm sorry, could you repeat your phrasing one more time for
so
the
okay.
poll?
So whereas I don't know if you want to say the current discussion about changes to the policy or, because I think we want to reference this specifically what Regent Fisher has proposed, right? So I guess I'm not understanding why if we just say any change to the policy.
No, that's what I was suggesting. Rather than
address.
Yeah, I'm suggesting any change to any change to the policy rather than the current proposal, because there technically isn't a current proposal.
Okay. So because the regents can only address they can't do anything with the union stuff. Okay. So whereas any change to the current employee education benefit, or any change to the tuition waiver as it currently exists, would affect only non-represented employees and therefore treat staff differently from other university employees.
I'm waiting for Nicole to finish writing before I distract her. And Trish, does that phrasing meet what you're?
Yes.
Okay. Do we have a second to that amendment?
I'll second that.
All right. Any discussion?
I'm just wondering where I'm trying to look in the list of whereas is where it ought to go.
Oh, let's see. I think it should be after the fourth one.
I agree. That one references the policy.
That looks good.
Okay. Other, any other discussion? All right, any opposition to amending, to approving this amendment as
well, we
said?
We first vote like on the amendment, and then we would.
That's right. And
I'm sorry. This is Leslie Walls. My phone was on mute. I would like to recommend a change to one of the wordings on the whereas a tuition waiver brings more traditional and non-traditional.
Sorry, Leslie, can I actually, that's great, but let's go ahead and do that after we vote on this amendment.
Okay.
So we keep in order. But please keep it and bring it up in just a minute. Okay, so I heard no... Heard no objections or further discussion. All those in favor of amending the resolution as stated, please say aye and raise your hand if you're in the room.
Aye.
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 Any opposed? And any abstentions? All right, the resolution is amended. Okay, Leslie, go ahead.
My request would be to amend the verbiage of the tuition waiver brings more traditional and non-traditional Alaska students to the university to incorporate some form of reference to the president's SDI plan to try to keep Alaska students within Alaska, because if we lose this tuition benefit, it would not encourage employees, students, or employees to stay within Alaska, but to seek education outside of Alaska.
All right. Do you have a suggested verbiage for?
Let's see. It would bring this tuition waiver would meet the president's SDI initiative to bring and keep more traditional and non-traditional Alaska students to the university.
This is Kirsten. I'm just wondering if that's actually a separate...
we should make your fettuccine tonight for Abby.
Oh, sorry, someone's speaking and you're not on mute. It sounds really tasty, but if you're not going to bring enough to share.
I'm wondering if that's actually a separate whereas thing, because it seems like this one with the, talks about, more kind of having a more diverse population as opposed to, like, keeping just Alaska people here. So I don't know if it's better to, we maybe don't want too many whereases, so that would be fine. But it does seem like it's sort of a separate issue.
Okay, well, we have a motion from Leslie, motion to amend from Leslie. Do we have a second?
Well, I could agree to that as well, because that would also make it a stronger point, because, the president, in that very long documentation, really is trying to push the fact that we are trying to keep Alaska students within Alaska.
So maybe, whereas the tuition waiver encourages... supports the SDI, the president's SDI, by encouraging children of employees to stay in Alaska and go to school at the university system.
All right. So I'm hearing, so we have a motion to amend from Leslie. We don't have a second on that. And I'm hearing from Kirsten, I think you're proposing a different amendment to add a new whereas.
A friendly amendment.
Is that right? What's that?
A friendly amendment to her amendment.
Okay, so...
If those in the room are more in favor of doing it as a separate, I would withdraw my request to amend and to include a new addition.
Yeah, we don't actually have a second on your amendment, but if you...
I'll second Leslie's motion.
Okay.
Amendment.
Okay, so now we are discussing... We're discussing Leslie's motion to amend, and Kirsten, you're suggesting a friendly amendment or a friendly change just to change some of that language. Is that right?
Right, and to make it a separate whereas statement.
I'm not 100% up on the parliamentary procedure there. I think if it's going to be a separate whereas, then it would be a new motion to amend. You wouldn't amend. We wouldn't change Leslie's amendment. We would either Leslie would withdraw or we would vote no on it and then move to a new amendment.
I believe she did withdraw it.
So she said, Leslie, you said if it's
I would like to withdraw, and then I would like to put forth an amendment to add a new whereas that this the tuition waiver supports the president's SDI initiative to keep Alaska students within Alaska, or similar verbiage thereas.
This is Jeanette. I second the motion.
And right. Is it still called SDI, or has it now got that new name?
You're Shaping Alaska's Future.
And I think that works better because SDI is Strategic Directions Initiative, so we'd be saying initiative. So Shaping Alaska's Future Initiative, or even just Shaping Alaska's Future, I think would work.
I agree.
You want it formal? Oh. Okay. Trish?
If we can also just check the wording on that. It's been a little while since I read it, but I think each of those bullets in the what was known as the SDI is called a goal. I'm not sure, so we want to make sure we don't say his initiative to keep Alaskans in Alaska, but his goal or whatever the language is in that document.
Okay, so
let me see if I can fold it up real quick.
So I think we need to get this restated the way we want it. We had a suggestion it should be talking about Shaping Alaska's Future and not SDI, since that is the new name, and then Trish's suggestion that we use goals instead of initiative.
Well, make sure we use the same wording.
I'm pulling up the document now, if you could bear with me for just a moment. I'm looking at the table of contents, and it's kind of I think it's a theme.
Could we phrase it in such a way, you know, we don't necessarily have to specify that we're trying to line up with one of the five. Isn't it five themes? Is that what we're talking about? It's the five
yes.
themes that are all part of Shaping Alaska's Future.
Student achievement and attainment, theme number one.
But I believe, it's been a while since I've seen those themes, a month or more, but I believe that the tuition waiver could potentially support more than just one theme, including the theme that specifically relates to staff being able to provide better support.
Okay, so we have a motion and a second to amend. I know we're trying to look up, you know, the exact language for Shaping Alaska's Future, but can I ask either Kirsten or Leslie to state it as is, and then we can see if we want to make changes, and then hopefully proceed to a vote.
So whereas the tuition waiver supports President Gamble's Shaping Alaska's Future goal, whatever the right language should be, of keeping Alaskan students in Alaska.
So whereas the tuition waiver supports President Gamble's Shaping Alaska's Future goal, or goal in Shaping Alaska's Future?
Right. Yeah, whatever the right language is for that, supports, and then of assuming that in the one of those goals, they want to keep Alaskans in the state going to school here, keeping Alaskan students in Alaska for their university education, something like that.
Okay. Whereas the tuition waiver supports President Gamble's goal in Shaping Alaska's Future of keeping Alaskan students in Alaska for their university education?
Yes. That sounds good.
I think it should say something like, by encouraging employees' dependents to stay in Alaska.
Yeah, I agree. Just to make it clear, that's sort of implied, but I think
Okay, so Robin, you're suggesting supports President Gamble's goal in shaping Alaska's future.
By encouraging employees' dependents to attend UA?
By encouraging employees' employees' dependents.
At UA?
To attend UA. To attend the University of Alaska. Yeah.
The university employees and their dependents.
And reduce costs, but that's another one of their goals. But I don't know if we want to, let's just keep this one kind of simple.
Or I don't know if we also want to add the word spouses.
Well, dependents basically covers their kids and spouses.
I don't know, isn't it kept separate on their employee and on the tuition waiver form, though? Spouses listed separately?
Mm-hmm.
So I would think you'd want to be consistent with their form and include
employees.
Spouses separately.
Say, you know, by encouraging employees' dependents and spouses to attend UA, or something to that effect.
So it supports President Gamble's goal in shaping Alaska's future of keeping Alaskan students in Alaska by encouraging spouses and dependents to attend.
Employees, spouses, and dependents to pursue higher education in the state. In the university system.
May I suggest that instead of keeping, we use the word attaining, which aligns directly to goal number one, which is student achievement and attainment in the Shaping Alaska's Future.
Attaining? Does that make grammatical sense? Supports the goal in Shaping Alaska's Future of attaining Alaska students in Alaska?
Retaining would be the same
retaining.
Thing.
Oh, say retaining. Okay, yes.
Also, this is Greg Son with the ASUAF Senate, and we have elections coming up next Monday, and this is going to be a ballot question on our voting. So if you're a student taking 3 or more credits, be sure to vote and give us your opinion.
Thank you. When we're done with the tuition waiver discussion, we will come back so you can give your ASUF report. And thank you for being here. Yeah, no, welcome.
This is Adam.
Go ahead.
I just wanted to add one thing to the conversation, and that is from the rural perspective, I guess. And I know that it's been brought up before by some of the other comments about how people can go out of state, but at the same time, in the rural communities, we rely on the distance education, and if the employee tuition waiver is gone or diminished, then other distance education providers would be, you know, just as they would be just as good in some ways. And so that's one of the problems that the university is facing now anyway, is competition from outside in regards to distance ed. And so I guess I don't know how to include that in the statement, but the rural communities already have a choice, and they're choosing to go to University of Alaska because of the tuition waiver. And if that goes away, they'll lose students to other schools.
That's a great comment. Adam, I would suggest, since we're currently discussing this amendment and trying to hammer out the language for the amendment that Leslie proposed and Kirsten seconded, if you could write that into an amendment, and then once we're finished with this one, you could propose that as an amendment to the motion, and then we could discuss it and hopefully add it.
Okay.
So let's see. I'm going to try and restate what we've got so far. Whereas the tuition waiver supports President Gamble's goal in shaping Alaska's future of retaining Alaskan students in Alaska by encouraging employees, spouses, and dependents to attend the University of Alaska. By encouraging employees and their spouses and dependents.
I think we have the word Alaska in there way too many times.
We can,
like maybe retaining Alaska students in the state, or?
We can just say retaining Alaskan students and cut out in Alaska.
Yeah.
And by encouraging employees and their spouses and dependents to attend UA. And then we're not repeating Alaska there. All right. Kirsten, Leslie, how did that sound?
I agree with that verbiage.
Okay.
Yeah, that's fine.
Any other discussion, comments, changes? All right. All those in favor, or do we want to place it in a particular spot? Should it go after the current whereas relating to bringing in traditional and non-traditional Alaskan students?
I think so.
Okay.
Well, Chris had suggested after the fourth one, and that seemed to make sense.
That was for the previous.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Never mind. Yeah. You're right.
How about before the the traditional and non-traditional?
Okay. Any other thoughts about that? All right. I'll call a vote. All those in favor of amending the resolution as stated, please say aye. And in the room, raise your hand.
Aye.
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 Any opposed? And any abstentions? All right. We have passed that amendment. Adam, do you have a motion to amend?
Hi, I'm sorry.
Yes, I do.
Oh, I'm sorry. There's someone in there.
I don't know if it was intentional to not get the vote of the people on the phone.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought I said on the phone.
Maybe I missed it. Well, I was an aye.
Okay, thank you. I will be more clear. Yeah, Adam, a motion to amend?
Okay. Yes, I do, and it's probably going to come out choppy. So I guess would I give a whereas also?
Go ahead. Yeah, please. I mean, I think if you didn't, we would add it. But
okay. So let me see. Whereas the University of Alaska system is already facing competition from outside distance education providers. Be it resolved or whatever, that the loss of the employee tuition waivers in rural communities would
eliminate incentive for those rural students to attend UA distance classes.
There you go. I like it. think that's enough.
Could we say that second half? I have, whereas the University of Alaska system is facing already facing competition from outside distance education providers, the loss of employee tuition waiver would eliminate
the incentive for rural students to attend UA distance classes.
Right. So UA staff and others that rely on tuition waivers.
Okay, so I have, whereas the University of Alaska system is facing competition from outside distance education providers, the loss of the employee tuition waiver would eliminate the incentive for rural students to attend UA distance classes.
Maybe not just lose, but reduction, because that's what they're proposing is a reduction, not an elimination.
Oh, thank you. The reduction. Okay.
And I don't know if it should say instead of rural students, like, you know, staff, again, since this is a staff, or whether that needs to be repeated or if it's obvious, would, you know, eliminate the incentive for rural staff.
I think if you're using a tuition waiver, that makes you a student because you're taking classes.
We could use the same language as we did before, employees and their spouses and dependents.
Yeah.
Because those using the tuition waiver wouldn't, I mean, they would be students, you're right, but they would be either employees or the those other two groups.
Okay.
Okay, so I have, whereas the University of Alaska system is facing competition from outside distance education providers, the reduction of the employee tuition waiver would reduce the incentive for rural employees and their spouses and dependents to attend UA distance classes. I think we got a second on this. I'm making sure we've got it stated properly. And then are there any other changes?
It sounds good to me.
All right, Adam, that was good. Yeah. All right. Hearing no other discussion or changes, we'll go to a vote. All those in favor in the room or online, please say aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? And any abstentions? All right, resolution is amended. Adam, where did you want that in the document?
I'm not exactly sure. I guess I don't really know.
Right.
Well, maybe it should just be coupled with those other ones that have to do with, you know, the traditional, non-traditional, the keeping, you know, Alaskans in. It's all kind of part of that.
Yeah, so put it either right above or right below. Brings more
in the
traditional
middle,
or non-traditional.
And I certainly agree with the Attorney General that Ben is a U.S. citizen. And, you know, I think we can
put it there. That would be a problem.
The United States is really the great hope that we
okay.
have for
other questions,
to be able to
discussion, amendment?
In this era, that is to say that only our system of government can really respond.
All right, hearing none, let's go ahead and go forth with a vote.
Rights, but I think we all revere and respect.
So we are voting on
premise, I think,
a yes vote would support this resolution or pass this resolution on. We'll CC it to the Chancellor and we'll send it on to Staff Alliance.
Last remnant of the termination era to describe the corporate system.
And
all
those in favor in the room, please say aye and raise your hand. And on the phone, please say aye.
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 Any nays?
And, you know,
and any abstentions?
Short time thereafter, that leads to the wholesale change in the policy to favor self-determination.
Looks like the resolution passed unanimously. Thank you, everyone.
President since it's endorsed it. Republicans, Democrats, and the Congress each session have endorsed
see, we are at
determination beginning in 1975. And so it is true that ANCSA occurred at a moment in history when tribal nations thought to not have
the
United States government. That is a radically
different
the committee report.
So
but,
the ANCSA ought to be revisited.
Oh, yes, I'm sorry. Thank you.
Viewed in terms
welcome.
Of what we
Brixon is here from ASUAF.
Hi there. I'll make this quick. Basically, in ASUAF, our biggest project right now is writing a resolution on ResLife. ResLife has proven themselves to be not very popular among a lot of students. So right now we're like trying to get signatures from at least 2,000 students to show that there's student support. And then we have the chancellor on our side to help form a sort of like third-party evaluation committee. And so he'll do that once he sees the student signatures and that there's enough like backing in the project. Other projects include we just sponsored an aerial silks club in the Wood Center, so people like hanging from the rock walls with the silks and stuff. And then elections are coming up on Monday, so if you're taking 3 more credits, be sure to vote. And that's about it. Thank you.
Thank you, Bricks. Any questions for ASUAF?
What is the question in regards to the tuition waiver that will be on the ballot Monday?
I'm not sure of the exact wording, but it's basically like, how do you feel about UAF taking this away? And then it'll say, like, if you, like, agree, strongly agree, you know, strongly disagree. I think 5 different options. And then I think there will also be a place to, like, write down any opinions you have.
Cool.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, so to the I know we're in the middle of committee reports. My suggestion is let's continue with the discussion on the tuition waiver and Board of Regents, at least quickly, and then we can hopefully race through committee reports and make it out of here relatively on time, or at least not too late. Ashley, you want to take it away? That?
Oh, yeah. So I mentioned before Board of Regents, December 12th and 13th. We do have public comment. Each person will have 3 minutes. Not quite sure when on the agenda public comment will be, as the agenda is not available until December 2nd.
It's usually 9 a.m., but I was looking through other
and
older...
How long is it usually?
I don't know what would happen if we filled the room. I'm not sure if they would eventually cut it off or if it would push their agenda back. But
just in general, and you know, I'll re-say what Chancellor Rogers told us yesterday, is that there were 10 regents, 5 voted for changing the waiver, and 5 voted against the waiver. There is an 11th regent who is not at that particular meeting, but you know, a sway in one person could mean that we see a reduction in the tuition waiver. So it is very important that that we do get out and we do testify at this Board of Regents meeting, because it would be a shame that we lose the waiver just because no one wanted to go or that people are intimidated by going. So we will try to get as much information as possible. We will share the times. It would be great if you could all send out messages or forward that information out to your unit listserv. Nicole can help you with that if you're not sure how to access your unit listserv. But it would be fantastic to show up and not be able to speak because so many people have shown up. So if you feel like you want to be there but are intimidated, I would encourage you to get as many people there as possible because maybe you can go show your support and never have to say a word.
Jeanette?
If other units decided to emulate Unit 11 and pass around their own petitions, when would be the deadline for turning those in to have that included?
There is a deadline to get written comments to the Board of Regents, and my thought was that could be included as written comment.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what that deadline is, but we can get that out.
Thank you.
Will the meeting be in the Board of Regents room in Butterfield?
Yes. Almost certainly.
Okay. And perhaps, Trish, if you could share the wording with other units, maybe, or maybe have Nicole share it so that if other units are interested, you can take some of the wording from Unit 11's petition.
And we also have the blog post on the Staff Council blog where we've been collecting comments, Staff Alliance, the Staff Dispatch, or the UA Dispatch has been collecting a lot of excellent comments. So those are both places to leave comments and thoughts. I think we should do, you know, possibly some kind of sign up or form, you know, get people to say, yes, I want to come, get it on their calendar to come speak at Board of Regents or to come be present for public comment. And then, you know, Staff Council reps, I think either, you know, if you have, like Jeanette, if you have comments of your own you'd like to make, I think that's wonderful and great, should be encouraged. But if you're feeling maybe you'd rather read someone else's comment, I think that's also an excellent avenue. You know, work with people in your unit to bring their feedback to Board of Regents so that you can say, you know, I spoke to 10 of my coworkers and, you know, they all came here because they wanted their kids to be able to come to the University of Alaska. And if they didn't have that, you know, it would be much harder for them to stay.
Well, I hope
so. Robin?
I just have one more question. I know the schedule isn't out yet, but is public comment usually on the first day, or is it both days?
You know, I don't know.
Okay.
I should check. I should have checked for the previous two-day Board of Regents meeting. I'm hoping and assuming it would be on both days, but I don't know for sure. If it's only one day, I shouldn't guess. I don't know. I'll try and find that out, too.
Somebody's got – oh, there it stopped.
No, go ahead.
Are the Regents meetings, are they telephonic, so like rural campuses participate?
There is a call-in number. I believe people did use it. I know them as they're the video conference, and there would be a link from the Board of Regents site with the link to the video conference, and you can listen in that way. They can't take any comments over the phone. So if you aren't in Fairbanks, unfortunately, the only way to get comments to them would be to submit them written. But yes, there'd be a way to listen and watch. And we can get that link out to everyone, too.
But if you are interested in having a verbal comment and want someone to read it for you, let us know. We might be able to find someone that is willing to be your in-person proxy.
I am certainly willing to read comments for either Staff Council reps or staff who would like to speak but can't be there. And fortunately, we will be meeting December 11th. So the day before Board of Regents, we'll be meeting and can finalize any plans and remind and poke everyone to be there tomorrow morning, or December 12th, for the first meeting. Trish?
I have two things to ask. The first is, how soon could we get a copy of today's resolution in its final form that we could distribute to our unit people?
Okay. Nicole says one, with the caveat if we get out of here in time.
Okay.
But it should be soon.
Okay. Today or tomorrow.
Within a day or two.
And then the second thing is, you know, I haven't read the bios for all of the Board of Regents, but I've read several of them. And most of them are business people or have, you know, backgrounds in finance and numbers. I really think metrics are super important to bring. I mean, our testimony is really good, but I think all the metrics that we could gather would be great. So in addition to my earlier request about fees, can we get some more numbers as far as how many classes are really full? So are we actually knocking anybody out? Can we bring some kind of proof that this is funny money to a certain extent?
I'll ask for it. And at pre-staff yesterday, Kari noted the whereas statement that whereas staff or employees.
Excuse me, we're having some feedback. It sounds like somebody has their radio on.
Nicole's going to take a look into that. I'm sorry about that. So on that whereas statement, Kari pointed out that, the whereas statement that the tuition waiver lets staff take classes that might otherwise be canceled. She asked about that. I thought it was cited in the FY06 FY6 to FY10 data that the that statewide produced, and also forward that out, because it's not the number of classes, but it's got some of that data you're asking for. But the chancellor backed this up and said that is a true statement. So, you know, staff using the tuition waiver to take classes means that there are classes that we would otherwise have to cancel that we can hold, and that we he didn't say this, but in yesterday's meeting, but I've heard it previously. We're not bumping students, but it would be great to have that cited, and I'm not sure where it is, but we can try to find that before the Board of Regents meeting.
And if we could also add, I don't know if this is readily available, but if we had, I think we talked about it in the staff affairs meeting, the market data as far as a comparison of salaries for a typical UA position compared to the market in Alaska for similar positions. If we could show any of that disparity, I think that would be an awesome thing to bring.
I would welcome someone else's input on that. I don't think that exists, except maybe for OIT staff, because there was a market survey done for OIT. And I think there's market surveys that are done for some faculty positions, but there's not a general market survey for all staff, so far as I know.
I mean, I know there's market surveys for Alaska employees in general. It's just a matter of somebody looking at that and comparing it to our similar role.
I saw some nodding heads in the room. Other comments about that? I
got a comment about this, you know, not canceling classes. You might also note that some degree programs, the schedule, the class only offered once a year and sometimes once every other year. So if you cancel that class, that might take the other students in that degree program and delay their graduation by 1 year, maybe 2 years.
Yeah, I'm not sure that comparison data exists. I know a number of OIT positions that either me or friends of mine in the department have applied for that we compare, if you compare them to positions outside the state, not within the state, but outside the state, it's not a, it's a no contest. I mean, if I moved out of the state, I could make usually about 30% more. So 25-30% is pretty common at other institutions. So I don't know how that is for other jobs, but for OIT, especially, and that's just general positions. It's when you get into specialized stuff, there's the money isn't the reason to stay in the state.
Or naturally inspiring.
Yeah, there you go. By the way, I looked up the public testimony on the last agenda was done on the first day at 8:30 in the morning. It was scheduled for 1 hour.
Okay.
1 hour.
And it was just on a two-day meeting. It was just the first day then.
That's correct.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, so on the first day, started at 8:30, mm-hmm. or scheduled at 8:30, and the following item was scheduled for 9:30. So there was an hour here.
Okay.
It does say that the chair can open and close that at any time. Also, that written comments and testimony is accepted following the meeting.
Okay, so we could potentially, assuming it's the same, we would be able to submit written comments immediately afterwards. That would make sense if they needed to close public testimony, and then they would be able to say, well, we're not cutting you off. We'll still read what you've written or read what you say.
Yeah, it says written comments are accepted and will be distributed to the Board of Regents and President Gamble by the Board of Regents officer following the meeting.
But mm-hmm. So keep in mind that if they're voting at the meeting,
yeah.
making a decision, our written comments are not going to help.
Yep. I understand. Yep. That's why I pointed that out.
Other questions, comments on the tuition waiver discussion?
Since I know we're not going to get to the communications discussion, I would just really encourage everyone that's in this room and online to really communicate this to your staff, doing the math that allows for 20 people to comment. I'm hoping that we have more that actually do show up and that they have to extend it or cut us off. I think that really says the support that the tuition waiver has. It sounds like we have it here. We have 38 people in one unit that signed a petition on their own before we even created a resolution. So that shows me that there's a lot of support for the tuition waiver. If anyone is interested in helping with communications on this particular topic, please let me know. We could make flyers or email announcements, something to get this on people's schedules. So let me know if you're interested.
All right, and we will have, I think, you know, staff affairs and advocacy will be meeting, of course, or should be meeting before our next meeting, and I think those would be good places to continue discussion. And then we'll have this on our agenda on December 11th. And in between, then we'll also have we'll get that information out to everyone via email. All right, so I don't want to push off the item 9C, the RISE Board Governance Agreement. Since we are we're a signatory on this group, they in order to make changes to their governance agreement, we need to sign off on it. So I would accept a motion to approve the RISE Board Governance Agreement.
Do you know what changed on it, Brad?
I am. There's an overview. It's attachment dash 13. I am not 100%. I know they added an additional student member, and they added an additional voting member from. I need to look at that change.
Attachment 13 lines out.
Yeah, they added a new community member, and it looks like they've increased the term from. 1 year term to 2 years, and there's now a one term limit instead of a four term limit. But dash 13 covers the major changes to their group.
Thank you.
I'd move to accept this change.
A second. Okay. We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? All right. I'm move to a vote. All those in favor, in the room and on the phone, please say aye.
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 Aye. All right. Any nays? Are any opposed? And any abstentions? All right. Hearing none, we will sign off on that agreement and send that back to the RISE Board. Currently, our representative on that group. I don't think we have a report specifically this time, but I know he sent us reports in the past. All right, and so. Onto committee reports, and if you have everything already in your internal report, please indicate that. If you have other things, or not internal report, on your written report, please indicate that. If you have things you'd like to add, please feel free. So elections.
What we'd like to mention that as to this time, only 56 people have voted. I would encourage all the even number of representatives to send out an email. Maybe Nicole can forward a sample of what she, you know, she sent out in the past in case you don't have it, with the links and everything else, so that you can directly send to your constituents, encouraging them to either vote or run or whatever they want to do. But do something. There seems to be always be a spike in the number of votes as soon as every time we're following an email. We should probably be sending these out on a regular basis.
And Trish asked, can we get a copy of that resolution? That's something for, you know, even reps can bring to their units and say, this is what we're doing. If you want to be involved in this discussion, be involved in future budget discussions, use that as a letter. Yeah. Thank you.
Richard, when's the deadline to vote again?
I believe it's December 11th.
Okay.
And Ashley, we'll send this out over email. I think that's probably a better way to do it now. But Ashley and I are discussing how to ratify the elections, and we're going to suggest a very, very short meeting 1 week later, the week before Christmas, maybe that Thursday,
just to have, you know, one action item, ratify the elections, and then, you know, for those of us on campus at the Fairbanks campus, we can bring some food. Unfortunately, our distant staff, I guess we could mail stuff. I don't know what would make it. I'll put that out over email and see if we can get enough people for the date. And if not, we can ratify the elections in January. And my understanding is that wouldn't be a problem.
Are there at-large seats open right now?
Just even numbers.
Just even numbers. Thank you.
The first at-large elections will be next year.
Okay. I have other questions for Richard? Okay. Kirsten, membership and rules?
We would like some more members to the committee, so if you're interested, please join our next meeting, which is the first Monday of December at 3 p.m. And we're going to be putting together a little presentation or explanation about parliamentary procedure. If you have any questions or any things about parliamentary procedure that you think need to be explained, send me an email so we can kind of provide information that's helpful to people. That's all I have.
Thank you, Kirsten. Jeanette, Rural Affairs.
In the interest of time, please see the included committee report, but I did promise that I would recall or basically reiterate our call for interested members for an ad hoc. That means a temporary committee. If you need committee work and you don't want to make a big commitment, we are interested in making a proposal for a university ombudsman. So if you're interested in being part of that discussion, please contact me or Nicole. Thank you.
Staff Affairs, Mary Alice.
For the interest of time, I think we've been discussing everything with the tuition waiver and this smoke-free campus and everything else, so I'm just going to pass.
All right. Do you know, do you have your next meeting schedule?
I believe it's December 5th, and I won't be here. Jennifer Youngberg is going to handle it.
Okay. Thank you. And Leslie, are you online?
Yes, I am.
Okay. University Advocacy.
I apologize for no written. We did hold a meeting on October 28th. We discussed several possible things that we could do within the advocacy. Jennifer Youngberg did check into the having somebody vote on or help with the selection of the Carolyn Sampson scholarship. She is still here. She would be willing to take on that. If not, she'll let me know if she retires before then, which I hope she doesn't, which I believe is in March. The workday volunteer leave, the suggestion came up instead of it being fully at the university expense to do a 50-50 split, which would show that the employee is also committed to volunteering within the community. That's going to need some more discussion. We have somebody that's interested in taking on the staff mentoring and trying to move that forward. I am investigating within the foundation on the how to go about setting up an additional foundation fund to help cover those fees or travel costs for staff educational improvements or advancements. And also what's also considered legal fundraising. Any ideas for something unusual or awesome that we can take on that would be great? This new tuition waiver may usurp some of these other ideas until that is resolved. I'm hoping to have a meeting. I don't think I'm going to make it before. I'm going to try for the 25th of November. I will send out an invitation and see if that works for everybody.
I did have some thank you for all those new folks that chimed in and stepped forward. I really appreciate the additional help. I will try to send out again a written summary within the next couple of days. And that's all I have.
Thanks, Leslie. Any questions for Leslie? Kari sent out an email to say that she gave a 40% figure for research dollars, and that was a little high. Apparently it's 30%.
So where's the other 10%?
Federal funds, says Nicole.
I think she's, are you forwarding this email on to everyone?
Okay. Okay, I'm sorry. The federal budget, the federal funds are 30%. Not 40%. Okay. External committee reports. Staff healthcare. Okay. Leslie, do you have any? Would you like to say anything else?
I apologize. They did hold a meeting. The minutes from that meeting are attached. There is a meeting coming up. I apologize. I think it's next week. There was a question that was posed about the benefit of being able to travel out of state for certain procedures. I will pose that question again to try to get more information at the next meeting, and we'll forward that on to the staff council on how to obtain that benefit. Apparently, there's been a lot of confusion on how to do it. There's a list of certain procedures, but I will get with Erica Van Vine and try to get more information on that to everybody.
And for that travel benefit, did I CC you on the color flyer? That has that list of the approved procedures and where you can go for it.
I do not recall, but you may have.
Okay, I may not. So I'll pass that along too. That took a little bit of searching to find.
Yeah, they need to make it a little more accessible and not so complicated to locate and understand. But apparently, there's also been some confusion within Primera that is an option, and I want to make sure that those issues are being resolved.
Can you send that out to all of us?
Yes.
Thanks so much.
Yep. Okay, the Compensation Working Group, and I can speak for this one. I'm chairing this group at Staff Alliance. I appointed, as Staff Council President, I appointed Mary Alice and Mike Cox from Facilities, who's been a fellow interested in geographic differentials for a number of years. He's emailed Staff Council, and they've both agreed to serve. I'm still waiting on other reps from the other MAUs to hold a meeting. But that group will work on the previous compensation proposals, answer questions from statewide, and hopefully think about new compensation proposals, which will likely still be ways we can try and improve compensation without necessarily giving a big dollar amount, because I don't think that's going to change anytime soon. We're not going to be able to ask for something that's going to cost the university. All right. For external committee reports, if you have something to add to your written report, or if you didn't have a written report, please speak up. Otherwise, we'll go ahead and move to roundtable. We'll include ad hoc in that list there.
Just one comment: that the most recent master planning committee meeting was canceled.
Oh. Chris,
The TAB committee didn't meet last Friday, so you'll have a report next month. But yeah, we didn't meet. It's just was too short day to get a report in.
All right. Any questions about the external UAF committee reports, or about the calendar ad hoc committee? All right. I'll go ahead and.